We're going to start off in the book, Matthew, 26th chapter, page 30. Mom, will you turn on the fan? It's in that drawer. Page 30 in the Greek Testament. Here's a neat thing, just a thought. How many here know that Jesus Christ was not a United States citizen? I do not. Did anybody here know that Jesus Christ was not a Canadian?
He was.
Was Jesus Christ a Mexican?
No.
I just got a mind picture of Jesus Christ on the cross with a sombrero. That's hilarious. Was he French with a beret?
No.
Was he German with a Bierstein? With we made the wine. No, that's ridiculous. Was he Greek?
No.
Wow, tell that to some theologians that only study Greek. What was he?
Hebrew.
He was a Hebrew, and his father was the god of the
Hebrews.
They weren't Greeks. There was a Greek god that was in charge of everything. His name was Zeus. We're not studying Zeus here, baby. Yahweh is the name of Jesus Christ's father. Jesus is the Greek for Joshua and the Hebrew for Joshua. You know, names get changed. This is 2,000 years old, but the Greek Testament. Jesus' name in the Hebrew is Yahoshua. Some people say it's Yahshua. It's not Yahshua. It's the same as Joshua. Joshua means Yahweh is salvation. It's not Allah is salvation. It's not Zeus is salvation. It's not Beelzebub is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And Jesus, and Yahweh named his son Junior. Would somebody please read, how about Elijah chapter 26, verse 26 through 28. It's page 30 in the Greek scriptures.
And as they were eating, Yahushua taking a loaf and blessing, break and giving it to his disciples, said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And take a cup, and giving thanks, he gave unto them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which, as for many, is to be poured out for remission of sins. Moreover, I say unto you, in no wise will I drink henceforth."
Just to 28. Okay. "For this is my blood of the covenant, which for many is to be poured out for" what? "The remissions of sins." What is blood of the covenant? Very interesting. Almost all translations will say blood of the testament. E.W. Bullinger and Rotherham vehemently object to testament. It's not testament. It's blood of the covenant. It's actually Jeremiah 31:31. It's not testament, covenant. Those are not the same words. But Jesus Christ is blood of the covenant. What covenant?
Blood covenant.
What are we talking about? Did Jesus Christ just make something up here? Is this a new thing? Turn to Exodus 24. It's page 107. Has it ever been said before, the blood of the covenant? The blood of the covenant. I believe Jeremiah 31:31 says a new covenant. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's Jeremiah 31:31, a new covenant. But it has blood of the covenant. Blood of the covenant. Ever been said. Now I'll sum up a little bit. Moses, in chapter 24, verse 1, page 107. Just verse 1. "And Moses said, come up unto Yahweh." "Come up unto Yahweh, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders. So shall ye bow down yourselves afar off. And Moses alone shall draw near unto Yahweh. But they shall not draw near, but the people shall not come up with him." So Moses went up. Only Moses is allowed. We have a mediator. What's his name?
Yep.
Jesus Christ. It also says, I think it's in Galatians, can there be a mediator of one? No. So of two. Who is the mediator between Israel and Yahweh right here? Moses. The mail goes through Moses. That's it. Now as we read this, Moses receives, I believe it's the Ten Commandments. It's in verse 4, "Then wrote Moses all the words of Yahweh. He built an altar and he slew peace offerings to Yahweh of oxen. Verse 6, then took Moses half the blood and put it in basins, and half the blood dashed it over the altar. Lots of blood, a whole lot of blood, everywhere in the Old Testament, which is kind of weird for us and kind of gross. I don't even like to eat chicken on the bone. Apparently there's no hair on my chest. I don't want to know it came from an animal. The chickens donated these legs. Give me a little chicken to walk around in a wheelchair. No, just kidding. Anyways, verse 8. Then Moses... Okay, who would like to read verse 8?
Me.
Yeah, okay. We have to read it aloud because the microphone's all the way over here. Okay?
Okay. Then Moses took the blood and dashed over the people and said, lo, the blood of the covenant Yahweh have solemnized with you over all these words.
Now verse 9.
Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and
Abihu
and 70 of the elders of Israel.
And in verse 10, and they saw Elohim of Israel under his feet like a pavement of sapphire and like the very heavens for brightness. And against the nobles of the sons of Israel put he not forth his hand. So then they had vision of Elohim and did eat and drink. When could Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu and the 70 elders approach Yahweh? When?
After the blood.
Only after the blood was shed. Moses shed the blood, and then they could approach. What did Yahweh say before this? Moses only. We're going to find out after this, a lot of people hate Moses. They can't stand, who does this guy think he is? And people are constantly attacking Moses, and guess who they're attacking?
Yeah.
They're attacking Yahweh. And if you read what happens when people attack Moses, you're going to find out Yahweh, that's his buddy. Nobody was as patient as Moses. And we can see after the blood was shed, and Yahweh's original intention was the Garden of Eden, Esther. All of this to be in the perfect, the Garden of Eden was an enclosure of delights. Think about it, an aquarium where nothing good or bad, or nothing good can leave, nothing bad can enter, of delights, no tear, no crying. You get to ride your horses wherever you want to go. You could possibly ride whales and dolphins in the ocean. You could go harvest wonderful things, make things. You're working. Didn't that sound wonderful? What happened? Adam and Eve chose sin. Yahweh says, if you eat of the fruit, what's going to happen? You will die. Right after that, the first itching ear doctrine was invented. Adam and Eve didn't want to believe in death. So the adversary says to Eve, did Elohim say? And she ate the fruit. What was supposed to happen? She's supposed to die. Adam ate the fruit. He's supposed to die. The serpent, the adversary, goes, aha! He attacked the father first. Now he destroyed the children. He just caused the first divorce. Here's the adversary going, ha, ha, ha. And what did Yahweh say? Not so fast. I make up the rules here. And he allowed the first bloodshed, a substitute sacrifice, so Adam and Eve did not have to die. And he put clothes. He put clothes on Adam and Eve. Took off their figs, and the clothes that they had would have been like a high priest. If you look at how Yahweh designed the clothes of Aaron, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. That's how he would have clothed them. But what was the first shedding of blood? The wages of sin is what?
Death.
I don't care what anybody says. It's an alternative lifestyle. You say if you are encouraging people to do a lifestyle of death, you will be held accountable. Oh my goodness! I don't like you saying that. Would you rather somebody lie to you and then you go before Jesus Christ and you encourage somebody with a homosexual lifestyle? Or you told a wife or a husband they can leave their spouse because they fell out of love with them? The wages of sin is death. And when somebody goes, I don't understand how you could love a God like that, you say the wages of sin is death. What happened with the blood of the covenant? Moses, and they were able to approach. Now what's interesting, if you read down to verse 17. Elijah, would you read verse 17? And the appearance.
Chapter 26, right?
24, verse 17.
Okay, someone else read it. I'm not there.
And the appearance of the glory of Yahweh was like a consuming
fire.
Hold on to that word, fire. Yahweh really represented by two different things. Fire and clouds. fire and clouds. Leviticus 9, chapter 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's page 133. After the sacrifice, what symbolized that Yahweh was well pleased with the sacrifice that Moses did? After the blood was spilt, they saw a fire. Yahweh. Okay?
9 what?
9 verse 23. Let's see. Before 9 and 23, in chapter 8, in chapter 9, you'll see, don't try to keep up with me here, but you'll read all through here. It's going to say, and Moses took Aaron and his sons. In verse 14, Aaron and his sons. 18, Aaron and his sons. It's all over the place. Verse 31, Aaron and his sons are with Moses. You keep reading, and his blood and all the rest of these sacrifices. And in verse 36, it says, Yahweh commanded through the mediation of Moses. And then chapter 9, verse 1, Moses called for Aaron and his sons. You keep reading, Aaron and his sons. So here's Aaron and his sons following Moses. Moses says, jump, they say, how high? Unfortunately, I'm a lot like, not like Moses, I'm a lot like Aaron. I get in trouble a lot. And we're going to find out, who are the special people here? Moses. Moses' older brother, Aharon, and Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu. Do you guys remember that name?
A little bit.
Yeah, after the blood was shed, guess who went up? Them in the 70s. Do you think they felt pretty special?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were they number one or number two? They're probably number three. Four. Were they happy with their position? No. So we're going to find out what happens here. And then I'll keep reading, Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Moses, Aaron, and his sons. Over and over and over again. And verse 23, chapter 9, verse 23. Melania,
are you there? Yeah.
Okay, why don't you read 23 through 24.
And when Moses and Aaron had entered into the tent of meeting and had come forth and blessed the people, then appeared the glory of Yahweh unto all the people.
Yea, there came forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the ascending sacrifice. Does this sound similar?
Mm-hmm.
The glory of Yahweh after a sacrifice, and fire came forth. How did they know that a sacrifice was acceptable before Yahweh? I used to think it was like lightning. And then I was thinking about it even more. Maybe it was like a meteor. Cain and Abel, both of them gave a sacrifice. And how was one accepted? John Shane and I did a teaching. He goes, all throughout the Old Testament, acceptable sacrifices were accepted by water?
No.
Fire.
Fire. Was it debatable? Okay, what's real important is, if I said, who here loves Jesus Christ? How many people would raise their hands? Okay, who is willing to get set to a lie detector, a polygraph test? Excellent. That's great. Because usually, my dad asked me that once. I was lying about something. And he goes, would you take a polygraph test? I go, sure, what is it? He goes, it's a lie detector. I went, we need to talk. Okay, now when you see, when we read through the scriptures and it looks like somebody's being treated differently, why don't we reconcile these people who are hooked up to a lie detector? Yahweh is not, do you think Yahweh believes our lies? Do you think he needs to see our hearts? Yeah. What happens right after this? Moses and Aaron go into the tent of meetings. To my knowledge, other than this scripture right here, who is the only one allowed into the tent of meetings?
Moses.
I never before today had ever seen a part where Aaron got to go into the tent of meetings. Whenever Yahweh wanted to have a meeting with Moses, who was the mediator between Israel and Moses, Yahweh would put a cloud over a tent. And they go, hey, Moses! The boss is waiting in the waiting room. Moses goes, oh, here we go again. And did Moses know what was going on in everybody's hearts? No. Did Yahweh know what was going on? And Moses, Yahweh over and over again wanted to wipe people out. And Moses going, calm down, calm down. It's okay. But here, the tent of meeting, Moses and Aaron went. Who did not go in? Nadab and Abihu, Aaron's sons. Chapter 10, verse 1. Then Aaron's sons. Nadab and Abihu took each man his censer and placed therein fire and put therein incense and brought near before Yahweh strange fire which he had not commanded them. Elijah, will you read verse 2?
Then came there forth fire from before Yahweh, and they consumed them, and they died before Yahweh.
What happened to them?
They died.
They got consumed by fire?
Yes.
Okay, before this, what got consumed by fire?
The sacrifice.
Sacrifices. What happened there? Wow, well, see, can you even trust this God? He just killed Nadab and Abihu. Here they were. They were just helping old Aaron out, right? That's what it looks like. What in the world's going on here with Nadab and Abihu? Can you imagine that with the rest of the people? If you were to read chapter 8 and just chapter 9, you'll see Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu. Moses, Aaron, Nadab, Abihu. And now Moses and Aaron go up, a sacrifice, boom, fire is accepted. And everybody's like, wow, what an Elohim we have. And Nadab and Abihu got some fire in their censers, and they got nuked. What happened there? What's up with that? Chapter 10, verse 1, it says, who went up? It was Nadab and Abihu. E.W. Bollinger points out just in these few scriptures right here, there's three types of fire. Hello, Ruth. She is so focused right now. Anyways, there's three fires here. The first fire is a consuming, acceptable fire. The second fire that Nadab and Abihu had, strange fire. Did Yahweh tell them to do it?
No.
He said, this is a false fire. Okay. Do you think it was visually, when people had real fire or false fire? How do you know? What's strange fire here? How can we know what strange fire is, guys? Anybody know?
Intent.
Ask the author. Ask the author. It's in there. I didn't know either. There's one fire Yahweh has, an acceptable sacrifice. That is acceptable. Come forth. And Yahweh says, do not come before me. Adam and Eve, if they did not accept the clothes that Yahweh made for them, what would have happened to them?
Died, probably.
They would have died. Does Yahweh give us freedom of will?
Yes.
Yes. Adam and Eve must have accepted a substitute sacrifice. Here's the clothes. You can die or the animals can die. And they accepted it. And here this is, Nadab and Abihu get toasted. After this, Yahweh says, this is Moses' nephews. Mm-hmm. And these weren't kids. Moses is 80. These guys might be 50 years old, 60. Mm-hmm. Who are these guys? Can you imagine somebody from your church getting hit by two meteors? Boom, boom. Then Yahweh says, don't mourn over them. What's going on here? Nadab and Abihu would try to approach Yahweh. We'll see. If you keep reading on, I'll kind of fast forward some of the stuff. Verse 7 of chapter 9. But for the entrance of the tent of meeting shall ye not go forth, lest ye die. After this, another sacrifice is made, and guess what happens? Another fire comes, showing it is an acceptable sacrifice. There's three fires here. One is an acceptable fire, proof that it is an acceptable sacrifice. Yahweh looks at our heart. Do you think Yahweh is going to be fooled if somebody goes, Jesus Christ, you are my Lord, my Savior. I'll do anything you want. Do you think he's going to be fooled if they don't mean it in their heart? Mm-hmm. Not at all. There's a false fire. And then the third one is a fire of judgment. You know Yahweh judges people with fire? Nadab and Abihu, when they got hit by fire, were they tortured forever?
No.
What did it say?
Consumed.
If you look up the Hebrew word, do you know what that word means? To be devoured. Destroyed. Gone. No more Nadab and Abihu except for... there's a little pile of ashes right there. You think everybody remember that one? Woo-wee! You think you can go before Yahweh without Moses? Does that sound familiar? Anybody ever hear about Aaron and Miriam? Yeah. Who needs Moses anyways? What happened to Miriam?
Leprous.
She got leprous. And Aaron started petitioning for Moses and asking Moses, petitioning for Miriam. Miriam didn't ask for help as far as we know. Could she have? Yeah, but she got spared because of Aaron. And Aaron goes, the male goes through Moses. There is no way except through Moses that we have any relationship with Yahweh. It's the same way with us with Jesus Christ. There is no relationship outside Jesus Christ or Yehoshua Mashiach. Turn to page 373.
New Testament.
We're being Kings 373. And Mom, I'm going to need adults reading.
Is that 1 Kings, 2 Kings? I'm sorry.
This is going to be 1 Kings.
1 Kings 18.
Thank you, Tim. Actually, we're starting off 1 Kings 7. No, it is 18. Now, here's the people. Here's Elisha, Elijah, not Shah. And the people were following Ahab. And they had another god. They had Yahweh, and they had another god called Baal. Baal is like a government god. Here in the United States, we have the wicked witchcraft of the West. You ever heard of the wicked witch of the West? Mm-hmm. The United States has one. It's called federal government. Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, child support, disability, everything the government's going to promise you. You just do what we say, you get to keep it. Oh, how about unemployment? Well, how do I get unemployment? Don't get a job, and we'll keep paying for it. Oh, okay, well, you just keep giving me money? But you better vote for people that will keep the unemployment. And where does that money come from? It just comes from somebody else. So we have a false god here in the United States. But here's Elijah's going to confront. If somebody would read 21 and keep reading. Mom, would you do that for me?
I'm just trying to find 21 here. And Elijah drew near unto all the people and said, "How long are you limping on the two divided opinions? If Yahweh be God or Elohim, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, "I am left, Yahweh's only prophet. But the prophets of Baal are 450 men. Let there be given us, therefore, two bullocks, and let them choose for themselves one bullock, and cut it in pieces, lay it upon the wood, but fire shall they not put. Then I will make ready the other bullock, and place upon the wood, but fire will I not put. Then shall ye call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of Yahweh. And it shall be the Elohim that respondeth by fire. He is God." And all the people responded, "Well spoken." Then said Elijah to the prophets of Baal, "Choose for yourselves one bullock, and make ye ready first. For ye are many, and call ye on the name of your God, but fire shall ye not put." So they took the bullock which was given them, and made ready, and called on the name of Baal from the morning even until the noon, saying, "O Baal, answer us." But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leapt about by the altar which had been made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, "Hey, cry with a loud voice, for a god he is. Either he hath a meditation, or an occasion to retire, or he's gone on a journey, peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened." And they cried with a loud voice and cut themselves after their custom with swords and with lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And so it was when noon was past that although they prophesied until the offering up of the evening gift, yet was there no voice, nor any that answered, nor any that hearkened. Then said Elijah unto all the people, "Draw near unto me." And all the people drew near unto him. Then repaired he the broken down altar of Yahweh. Yea, Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of Yahweh came, saying, "Israel shall be thy name." And built with the stones an altar in the name of Yahweh, and he made a trench as large as would contain 2 measures of seed, round about the altar, and he put in order the wood, and cut in pieces the bullock, and laid upon the wood. Then said he, "Fill 4 pitchers with water, and pour out upon the ascending sacrifice, and upon the wood." And they did so. And he said, "Do it the second time." And they did it the second time. And he said, "Do it the third time." And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. Moreover, also, the trench filled he with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the gift that Elijah the prophet drew near and said, "O Yahweh, Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that by thy word have I done all these things. Answer me, O Yahweh, answer me, that this people may know that thou, Yahweh, art God," or El. "So shalt thou thyself have turned their heart back again." Then fell fire from Yahweh and consumed the ascending sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, even the water that was in the trench, it licked up. And when all the people saw it, they fell upon their faces and said, Yahweh, he is El. Yahweh, he is El.
That's good right there. A couple, why did Elijah wait until evening? Because that's when you're supposed to give the sacrifices. He waited. Was he waiting for them to be done? No. Sacrifices are not supposed to be given to Yahweh until, I believe it was the evenings. The second thing is, this is during a drought. There's no water. How many years is it? Not just no rain, no moisture. How many years? Anyone know?
Three and a half years
and no moisture. I have a humidifier right now. And when I found a filter that would actually put water back in it, I almost started dancing. I've been waking up with a dry mouth. 3.5 years, no moisture. Yeah. What did he pour on top of the bullock?
Water.
You ever see somebody in the desert? Would they give all their gold for a glass of water? Yes. What did he pour all over this offering?
Water.
The most valuable thing there was now. They wanted water back. And Yahweh says, do you think it's a coincidence that Israel right now and the Middle East has no water? He says he'll withhold the rain from the unrighteous. It says it right there. You got to do what I said. Do the people in Israel think that the self-proclaimed Jews who live in Jerusalem, do they think they're Yahweh's people?
Mm-hmm.
Really? They look at how desert it is. Also, we see that both with the prophets of Baal, did they shed blood? Yes. Their own blood. And it said it gushed forth. Did Elijah shed blood?
No.
Yes. He cut into pieces the bullock and laid it upon the wood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You cannot get rid of your sins, and I cannot get rid of my sins without blood. Whose fault is that? Adam and Eve. People say, I don't like to see death. I don't see animals die. I don't like to eat chicken on the bone. Why does there have to be death? Adam and Eve caused a huge problem, and now there is no relationship with Yahweh without the shedding of blood. And how do we know who is the prophet of the Creator? He consumed it with fire. Is that the first time Yahweh ever did this? No. He licked all the offering up. How much do you think I blessed Yahweh to see Elijah do that? And then all the people got up and said, Yahweh is El! Yahweh is El! Yahweh is El! They got all excited. How did they know what was an acceptable sacrifice?
Fire.
Yahweh consumed it. All throughout the Old Testament, there's a fire of what's called an E.W. Bollinger would say an approved fire. What is an approved fire? The one he made. You ever been a parent and told your kids not to play with matches? Is there an approved fire in your house? An unapproved fire? Yeah, you talk to your kids, you play with these matches, there's an unapproved fire, I'm going to whoop you. You don't play with fire, right? That's the theme of this whole teaching. Don't play with fire. Leviticus chapter 16, that's page 141. I'm sorry, kids, we're going to be covering a lot of scriptures. I'll try to get you guys in there. It's great to hear you read. You guys turn to page 141, Leviticus 16. I got to go to E.W. Bollinger.
I apologize. What chapter did you
say? 16. Somebody had to read 11 through 13.
So Aaron shall bring near the sin-bearing bullock which is for himself, and shall put a propitiatory covering about himself and about his household, and shall slay the sin-bearing bullock which is for himself, and shall take the censer full of burning coals of fire from off of the altar, from before Yahweh, and his hands full of fragrant incense, beaten small, and bring within the veil, and shall put the incense upon the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud of incense shall cover the propitiatory which is over the testimony, and he shall not die.
What is going on here? The incense. Nadab and Abihu brought incense from strange fire. Mm-hmm. What were they supposed to be doing? In Leviticus, here's E.W. Bollinger. Only fire from the brazen altar of burnt offering, where atonement had been made, could be used for kindling the incense of the golden altar in the holy place. There's no remissions of sin without the shedding of blood. What would happen is when they offered the atonement, and if they did what Yahweh said, what Moses told them to do, what would happen to that offering? It'd be accepted by fire. A fire would be started, and only an approved fire would leave coals that Nadab and Abihu or the priests could take those coals and make incense and go before Yahweh. Those coals, was there a shedding of an innocent blood? Yes, an animal had died. And how did they know that this was an acceptable sacrifice? Yahweh consumed it with fire. And they took those coals, those special coals. Think about those coals.
Yeah.
And then they would take those coals and put incense on top of it, and those coals would make a smoke. And Yahweh would say, that is an acceptable sacrifice. And they were to bring it to the mercy seat, which was the Ark of the Covenant, between the two cherubim is where Yahweh dwelt. And that's what Yahweh was trying to... Yahweh's trying to compensate for what Adam and Eve did. He sounds so complex. That's how big of a mess Adam and Eve started. And here he is compensating for his kids over and over again. They go, you're so high maintenance. He goes, talk to your grandparents.
Yeah.
I'm cleaning up their mess. You don't like it? And here's Moses. Nadab and Abihu didn't like all the mail going through Moses. Well, look at us. Look at us. In my opinion, Nadab and Abihu saw Aaron go in the temple with Moses. Well, who's Aaron? Oh, what's this? And Nadab and Abihu... here, I'm going to read some notes. After a bullock was slain, the shedding of the blood... No remissions are... after a bullock was slain, there is a shedding of blood. And Hebrews 9 says there's no remissions of sin without the shedding of blood. There, okay, I already covered all that. Okay, the notes here, before we go back to turn back to Leviticus chapter 10, that's page 130.
Okay.
Who told Nadab and Abihu to take incense like they did?
Nobody.
They did this decision all by themselves. Who went before Nadab and Abihu? Moses and Aaron. Could Aaron have gone before Yahweh without Moses?
No.
No. And Moses, or Aaron, like myself, messed up a lot. Got himself in a lot. He made a golden calf. But he would fall down, and he'd go back to his brother and say, please talk to Yahweh. And he messed up. Aaron is a good example for all of us. If you mess up, just get down on your hands and knees. And if you say, I'm sorry... What if you were hooked up to a polygraph test every time you're supposed to say sorry to your siblings growing up? Would you have been in more trouble? What if you knew you were set up to, are you sorry? I'm sorry. I don't know. What do the readings say? Dad, it says he's really upset. Spank him again. Whoa, I'm really sorry. These are the polygraph. Yahweh's not fooled. Nadab and Abihu, was there a shedding of blood? We don't know. I'm going to say probably. Why? What about the prophets of Baal? Shedding of blood. False sacrifices, a shedding of blood. There's false gods, shedding of blood. How about with Moses in Egypt? What happened there? Throw the babies to the crocodiles into the Nile, shedding of blood. Leave the babies exposed at night, shedding of blood. So I'm going to say probably there's a shedding of blood. But if there was a shedding of blood, where did the fire come from that Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu had? Did Yahweh accept it?
No.
In my opinion... Nadab and Abihu did their own sacrifice, and they didn't catch on fire. In my opinion. They got a fire. Where did they get the coals? And they went to the incense, and they tried to approach Yahweh with an unauthorized fire. Mm-hmm. Was innocent blood sacrifice for Nadab and Abihu that Yahweh approved. No. Was their sin atoned for? No. It's real easy. You want to know if your sins were atoned for? Fire. Boom. Hey, I'm free. I'm free. I think what happened with Nadab and Abihu? No fire. What are we going to do here? We'll make our own fire. And they try to approach Yahweh before they try to approach Yahweh without the shedding of blood. Can we go before Yahweh without Jesus Christ?
No.
No. And if we think we can, good luck. And if you do not accept the blood that's put over the doorpost, what happened to those people that did not put blood over the doorpost in Exodus?
First born dead.
They chose to die. Anybody could have done it. That blood says, hey, the angel of the messenger of death is coming. The wages of sin is death. Adam and Eve did it. There's nothing new here. Put the blood over the doorpost. Nadab and Abihu did their own blood. Did it their own way. We'll do it our way. For whatever reason, in my opinion. It's the same thing that Aaron and Miriam did. They tried to cut out Moses. We'll do it ourselves. What happened is, was there any atonement? No. Somebody's blood's going to be shed. Whose blood? If Adam and Eve did not accept the clothing, in my opinion, and they tried to approach Yahweh, they would have died. You can't. The wages of sin is death. So what happened to them? Blood was required, and they decided to commit suicide. It's like somebody playing with electricity or natural gas. You know, you don't know what you're messing with. You cannot approach Yahweh without approved fire. 1 Kings. Here's a neat thing about the three fires. There's the acceptable fire one, the fake fire, which is somebody, it's a fake offering, and then the judgment fire that Yahweh uses. In 1 Kings, after the approval fire of Elijah and the water offering and the bullock and was Elijah's heart right? Yes. If Elijah was not, his heart wasn't right, do you think would fire come down? No, absolutely not. What happened? Fire consumed it. What did the Israelites do? Yahweh is El, Yahweh is El. Now, you know what happens next? You know what happens to the prophets of Baal? Elijah says, kill them. Their blood's going to be shed. And they die. Did they try to approach Yahweh? Yeah. We'll talk to the Creator. Oh, Baal. Did they try to approach? Here's the thought, though. The prophets of Baal, could they have fallen down and said, this is the Creator. I'm wrong. It's not Baal. It's not Baal. It is Yahweh. Did they? Did they repent? No. And so what happened was, here they are still standing. Did they repent? Did they want the shedding of blood? No. Did Satan or the adversary want Jesus Christ for his blood? No, he rejects it. And anybody who rejects the innocent blood of Jesus Christ is doing the same thing that the prophets of Baal. Now, the prophets of Baal wanted to approach Yahweh. The price of that is what? Death. What happened to them? They killed themselves. In my opinion, Nadab and Abihu, I think it was the same thing. So the lesson right there is, don't approach Yahweh without reverence. If you think you can approach Yahweh without reverence, you could end up like Nadab, Abihu, Moses, or Miriam. It'd be better to be Miriam or Moses, or Aaron or Miriam, not Moses. To say, you better have reverence. In this life, does everybody bow to Yahweh through Jesus Christ, through Yehoshua? How about Barack Obama? Does he bow down to Jesus Christ?
No.
No. But what if he did? And his heart wasn't right. Do you think he's going to fool Yahweh?
No.
No, Yahweh's looking right at his heart. He's not fooling. He's not fooling me either. You think there's times I say, oh, I'm so sorry. And he's looking at you going, Aaron, remember, Aaron, did you just confess? I did. You just tell me how quickly you get that peace back. I said, I'm sorry. Where's my peace? Because you never approved. Yahweh wants the circumcision of the heart. Does everybody bow down to Yahweh now? No. Are there false prophets today?
Amen.
Yes. Do they say they're false prophets?
No.
What are the self-proclaimed Jews saying in Israel right now? We are the chosen people. Ha! This is our temple. Ha ha! Look at the curls of my hair. Look at these things. Here's the wall. Here's where we are. Are they trying to approach Yahweh without an approved sacrifice?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's going to happen to them? The same thing that happened to who? Nadab and Abihu. What kind of fire is that? Judgment. Christians that go, hey, we got to save Israel because they're chosen people. You will be held accountable. For what? Because it says in 1 John, anybody who does not confess Jesus Christ as the Messiah is Antichrist. And you are encouraging people to be Antichrist. How are you going to explain that to your auditor? Oh, boy. How about, what if other people were saying Nadab and Abihu's offering was good? Would Yahweh be happy with them?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Israel right now, self-proclaimed Jews, false prophets. Do they offer fires now? Yeah. Do they have incense down in the temple? Yeah. How does Yahweh feel about that strange fire he did not consume? Very interesting. Then you see, which is real interesting, but you're going to say, we are Israel. We, that is not Israel. Yahweh wants a circumcision of the heart, not the flesh. And Yahweh's not tricked. What's going to happen to those false prophets and those false fires, those false offerings? Are there people in the church right now that say they love Jesus Christ and they're trying to teach, but they say, covet your neighbor's good? You can covet your neighbor's goods.
Yeah.
You can divorce your husband or wife if you fall out of love with them. You can do partial birth abortions. It's okay. Yahweh loves everybody. Or the new doctrine. No, it doesn't matter what you do or what you don't do. Yahweh always loves you the same. Unconditional love, the New Age doctrine. What's going to happen to those people? Is that approved? No, it's not. And it's our job to say, you are offering strange fire. You better start repenting. Because Aaron repented, didn't he? You got my attention! Aaron's heart was wonderful. No wonder he got to be the Levitical priesthood who came through the Aaronites only. His heart! He kept turning back. Nadab and Abihu? No. Yahweh saw their heart, and what were they trying to do? We don't need Moses, in my opinion. They're trying to cut him out. Revelation chapter 20, that's page 265. What's going to happen? So right now, we don't have the fire of judgment. But we do know what happened in Nadab and Abihu. Yahweh tortured them with fire forever and ever.
No.
He consumed them with fire. Verse 14, chapter 20, verse 14. Anybody who rejects Jesus Christ as the Messiah, or any of those that are not part of the sacred secret, says we don't have to do what Yahweh says. There's many paths to heaven. Yeah, Oprah Winfrey, good luck with that one. Yeah, good luck with that. There's many paths and stuff like that. And if you should go to Oprah, Oprah, is that what you're going to tell Jesus Christ when you meet him? Are you going to tell him that his blood wasn't necessary? Yeah, so you might want to think about that if you're watching Oprah. Verse 14, chapter 20. Mom, would you read that?
And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire.
There's going to be another fire, and death and Hades are going to be cast in there. Because what's going to happen to all those other people?
And
the fire of judgment, which takes us back. So we learn about Nadab, Abihu, these three different fires. We got a fire of approval. We got fake fires. And then we have another one. You know, I tell people right now, they go, oh, the Jews. I go, who killed Paul? The self-proclaimed Jews. Who killed Stephen? Not Paul, excuse me. Who killed Jesus Christ? Who tried to kill Paul? Self-proclaimed Jews. The Crusades, self-proclaimed Christians. Mm-hmm. Yahweh's now we see here, back to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ in Matthew 26 says, this is the blood of the covenant. What blood was he talking about?
His blood.
His blood. It was going to be his blood. This is the blood of the covenant. He says there is no remission of sin without this blood. Would those Hebrews know you have blood has got to be shed? Yes, it was his blood. What sacrifice was that? What was the bullock? Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice. The seed of the woman. 4,000 years in the making. A 4,000 year gestation period. Can you imagine that belly in Yahweh's stomach? Here's his son. Oh, he's kicking again. Can you imagine the angels around? Man, how long is it going to take? Here's the world and the earth is like the womb of Jesus Christ. 4,000 years. Oh man, just waiting for him to come. And then what happens is Jesus Christ has to sign up for this thing. The son, Yehoshua Mashiach. And he says, I will be the lamb. I choose to take the sin and put it on my back. Why? So that I can get everybody back to Garden of Eden. And I can awake everybody who's asleep. And he says, I will do it. And when he ate with this, during the Passover, that wasn't the Passover, but because they were standing during that time, or they were sitting. You stood during Passover now, by the way. Anyways, this is the blood. Okay, was he an acceptable sacrifice?
Yes.
Yeah. So if he was the acceptable sacrifice, where's the fire of approval? Turn to Acts chapter 1.
Just trying to steal your thunder,
Aaron. Amen. Well, actually, you guys can turn to chapter 2. I'll read this. Jesus Christ, after he died, he came back to his disciples and he said, it's all true, guys. It's all true. He spoke to them and they heard him speak directly to their heart. When Jesus Christ went to Nicodemus, Nicodemus' brother said, we found the Messiah. Nicodemus would have said, we've been looking for the Messiah for 4,000 years. And now you found him? Where's he from? Galilee. He goes, does anything good come out of it? Can you imagine? They said, he came out of Las Vegas. And they go, Las Vegas? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, Vegas? Yeah, Las Vegas. Wow, I wasn't expecting that, was he? Nicodemus says, does anything good in Jesus Christ? Looks right at Nicodemus. It says that Jesus Christ, or Yehoshua Mashiach, did he look better than any of us? No, he was just very average. He was not a good looking guy. Probably wasn't tall. Probably wasn't muscular built. You wouldn't even notice this guy. He looks at Nicodemus. He goes, Nicodemus, a Jew in whom there is no guile. Does Nicodemus deny this in John? No. He goes, do I know you? He read Nicodemus's mail. He could look right at his heart. And he says, Nicodemus, I saw you under the fig tree. Nicodemus falls down. You are the Messiah. You are the Mashiach. And you know what he says, Nicodemus? You ain't seen nothing yet. Mm-hmm. Nicodemus would have got up with a prophecy. Yahweh does the same thing with you, and he does the same thing with me, and he speaks to us. And an advantage we have over Nicodemus is this son now lives inside of us. And every time you hear a testimony, or you give a testimony, guess who says amen in the background? Yahweh and his son, Jesus Christ. So you don't withhold your testimonies, neither should you withhold an anti-venom from somebody who just got bit by a black widow, by a brown recluse. Would you withhold an anti-venom from them? Then you don't withhold your testimonies. Because it is not up to you whether they believe it or not. Because the inner witness, who is there with you, lives inside them. And he's speaking to you right now, and he's speaking to me right now. So you deliver it, whether you accept it or not, and guess what happens? They walk off and say, this person's nuts. But have you ever had that? He delivered a message and you try to ignore it? 3 days later, go away, go away, go away. I had one time I hated this person. He just irritated me for 3 years. To find out, God just irritated me. And now he said, here I was. He goes, who irritates you? That guy, really? The guy you met one time? I finally got down on my knees and I said, what's going on? He goes, that was me, Aaron. And the reason why it doesn't go away, the reason why you can't forget about it is because I don't forget about it. And I delivered you a note. You got served, Aaron Cunningham. That was a certified mail. What are you going to do? Oh, this was you. I didn't know it was you. I got down on my knees. I repented. And then he goes, let's talk about this thing. We do the same thing. But where was the fire? Acts chapter 1. Jesus Christ comes. You guys stay in 2. And beginning in company with him, he charged them from Jerusalem, do not make yourself absent from Jerusalem, to abide around the promise of the Father, which ye have heard of me. Because John indeed immersed with fire, but ye in Ruach HaKodesh, Holy Spirit, shall be immersed. Where's the fire, guys? Where's the fire? Where's the fire of approval? Not after many of these days, they therefore, having come together, began to question him, saying, Lord, at this time didst thou establish the kingdom of Israel? He said, it is not yours to get to know the times and the seasons, which the Father hath put in his own authority. But ye shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And they went to Jerusalem, and they obeyed him. And they waited. Did the disciples, there's 120 in the upper room, including Jesus Christ's mother, listening to her son. Did that take humility to listen to her son and call him Lord? How would you like to get down your hands and knees? Yes, son. That wouldn't be easy. How would you like to be Jesus Christ's brother? That guy, oh man, the guy who had, oh man, that's my... Can you imagine being King David and your 8 older brothers or 7 older brothers having to bow down to you? Wasn't easy. Okay, it wasn't easy. 120 people were in the upper room, chapter 2, verse 1. And on the day of Pentecost, where is the fire of approval? The day of Pentecost was filling up the number of days. They were all together with one intent. When there came suddenly out of heaven a sound just like Elijah, a sound just like with Moses. A sound just like when Yahweh says, I am Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt have Yahweh thy Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul and all thy strength. And all the people shrank back. A sound. When there came suddenly out of heaven a sound, just as a mighty rushing wind, that filled the house where they were sitting. Before this in John, Jesus Christ breathed on them. Receive ye Holy Spirit. Now they hear the same sound. It's the same word as breathed. Verse 3, and there appeared on them parting. Melania, what did they see? Verse 3. And there appeared unto them. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there appeared unto them parting asunder tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with Holy Spirit and began to speaking with other kinds of tongues.
Where was the fire of approval? That he was the acceptable sacrifice. Did it happen immediately? Yeah. No, it happened on the day of Pentecost. And the fire that came down, whoosh, was on top of their head. Boom! It was there. And how did we? And they looked and they saw the fire of approval above their head, just like above Elisha, just like above Moses. The same fire, but I believe the same fire that was accepted when Cain and Abel's did their offering. The same fire, boom, it was there. And how did they know? The coals. A coal was taken and put on a prophet's mouth. Anybody, you guys ever heard of that?
Yeah.
And he spoke. The coal was put in his mouth. They spoke in tongues, in a language they did not know. What did they speak? The magnificent things of God. Now in each believer today, we are part of the sacred secret. The fire is still going. And how do we know whose offering is acceptable? Those that speak in tongues. And how do we know if somebody's a false prophet or somebody's really saved? Can any of us look at somebody and say, do you know their issues of their heart? Do you know if they really got saved? Do you know if they've accepted Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior? They go to church. Does that mean? Does it say you go to? No. What happens? The acceptable fire is the speaking in tongues. And the incense, excuse me, is speaking in tongues. And the incense that they were to bring before Yahweh, in my opinion, is the speaking in tongues. As we speak, it says that we could be a sweet, savoring smell unto Yahweh. The fire is inside me. The fire of approval is inside you. What's the first thing that Satan did? The adversary's hands and feet are men and women, just as Jesus Christ's hands and feet are men and women. What did he do when the fire of approval came down on these 120? They mocked. It says, this is not the fire of approval. They're drunk. And I have a question. What do you think the prophets of Baal said when the fire came down to Elijah? Did they get down and say, this is Elohim? This is Elohim? What do you think they did? They mocked. They absolutely mocked. We've been covered by Jesus Christ's blood. In Acts 2, we receive the fire of approval. And everywhere we go, we can show the fire is still going. And you want to know if your kids are saved? Lead them into speaking in tongues. The fire, boom, it's there. And what happened What happened with Jesus Christ? Was Jesus Christ approved when he was casting out demons? What do they call him?
Beelzebub.
What do people now say about speaking in tongues?
It's from the devil.
It's from the devil. What do you think the prophets of Baal would say about speaking in tongues? The prophets of Baal are still here, guys. That's from the devil. Chapter and verse, 1 Corinthians 14. We'll wrap up there. So when you speak in tongues, you should get a mind picture of Moses on Mount Sinai. When you speak in tongues, you should get a mind picture of Noah after he did the sacrifice. Boom, a fire. This is acceptable. When your child speaks in tongues for the first time, I was 16 years old before I humbled myself and I asked for help. I was 16. And my mother came to me. She gave me a book. And when I spoke in tongues, she hugged me and almost started crying. I did not realize that this fire was the same fire. Boom, he is acceptable. What does that mean? My heart was ready. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Passover. 1 Corinthians 14, it also says, how do we know what is a false prophet and what is a real prophet? How do we know what sacrifice is acceptable and not acceptable? The same way with Baal. And you go into it, it says, what is the sign to the unbeliever? 1 Corinthians 14. Speaking in tongues. The fire. What was the sign to Israel with King Ahab? The fire. Let's just find out who is saved and who is not. You can go to a minister and say, can you speak in tongues? Well, I don't believe in it. Well, good luck with that, man. Then you're not acceptable.
Yeah.
We do the same thing. It also says, that's it. Okay. I'll just close it.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Father. Yahweh, through Yehoshua Mashiach. That if we do not have humility and reverence, then we are like vomit, refuse. We thank you for helping all of us to realize that we are nothing without humility and without reverence. That we have no business even opening your word without acknowledging who you are and what your Son has done. The Creator of the heavens. We thank you that every time we open your word, that we can acknowledge what happened on Mount Sinai, what happened with Elijah, And we can acknowledge that we are going to go before your Son one day. And every act of obedience will be acceptable. We thank you that we can be a sweet savoring smell, a wonderful incense, or we can also be a stench. And if we do not bow ourselves, so if we think we belong here because of our own intellect, then we stink. We thank you for sending people to us to get rid of the things that stink and help us get down on our knees. And we can show people to say, what sacrifice, what is a fire of approval? And we get down on our knees. And if they refuse to get down on their knees and we told them to get down, well, then that's between them and the Creator. But we thank you that we can. And as we humble ourselves, we too can get to see wonderful things and we get to see who you are. We thank you for helping us be reminded that one day all this life is not about what other people do. It's not about pats on the back. It's only what you tell us to do. It's going to be, did you do what I specifically told you to do? We thank you for helping us focus on our race and to acknowledge all these things. We thank you that we are sweet, savoring sacrifice, especially when we obey. That we can speak in tongues, we can prophesy. We have all 9 apps of the gift of Holy Spirit. We thank you for these words. My sons and my daughters, do not be hard on yourself unnecessarily. But know that if you accept my Son as your sacrifice, that after your heart humbles itself and you circumcise your heart, that I look at you and I see my Son's eyes. And when a father looks at his child's eyes who has done nothing wrong but laid his life down for others to bless his father, to bring a family back together, know that I absolutely cherish and adore you. That once you confess your sins, they no longer exist. So continue to repent and to continue to quit looking in the past, but look forward. And imagine the way I looked at my Son's eyes when they opened after 3 days and 3 nights when he was dead. When his eyes first opened, can you imagine my heart when he opened his eyes? After he fulfilled the whole thing for me? Can you imagine? My heart, can you imagine what the angels would have done? Can you imagine the angels weeping because they saw the whole thing? Can you imagine their hearts as he got up? As he got up. And that is what I see when I see you after you confess your sins. And then you come forward and now I want to send you back out. I want to send you back out because you are conquerors now. You are to dominate this world and you are not to conform to this world but to be transformed by renewing your mind to believe you are who I say you are. You are a new race, a new creation. And you are not to blend in. You are to dominate this world and the adversary by believing my word and walking out in faith. And if people depart from you, I will restore tenfold. Nothing can be taken that I will not reward. Be reminded that I will reward everything and I will make everything worth your while. So stop looking at the people who depart. Stop being worried about who's going to leave you if you obey. And start being focused on my heart. What about my feelings? And as you do that, you will rise above everything. Because all my servants who chose to believe my word and all those who chose to answer the call did. And you've read about them. You've read about Moses. You've read about Elijah. You've read about Elisha. You've read about Abraham. You read about John the Baptist. You read about Peter. You read about Paul. You read about Stephen. You read about Philip. Now it's time to start reading about yourself and start writing your own book and believing. So go out. Go forward. And you too could be like Elisha. It says, if I am a man of Elohim, let fire come down and consume this captain and his 50. Amen.